Welcome, everybody, and welcome back if you're rejoining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so excited for our next discussion for the forthcoming half an hour. I'm joined by Amy Barilow. She is the Communications Director for Clean Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about data centers and what not just Wisconsin, but our country can expect in the coming years with the exploding need for energy to run these puppies, the AI data centers, far eclipsing almost any other energy need that you can think of. Where are they going to get it? How dirty is that energy? What's it going to do to our clean water supplies, our communities? We're going to discuss all of that with Amy. But of course, it is the 5 o'clock hour, and it is time for Civic Media's multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Every day when you text in via the Civic Media app, the word of the hour, and this, the 5 o'clock hour, you'll be entered to win two daily prizes of $200 or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize, which is two tickets on the club indoor level to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game, plus a gas card to get you there and back to the game, a $1,500 value. Nobody wants to miss out on this. It is a good time to be listening to Civic Media. So get your app ready. The word of this hour, got to get it texted in via the app before 6 p.m., is pay, P-A-Y. Again, the word is pay, P-A-Y. Good luck to one and all. And with that, it is my pleasure to introduce and bring onto the program Amy Barilow, again, the comms director for Clean Wisconsin. You can find all about Clean Wisconsin at cleanwisconsin.org. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you with us. Let's just jump right in here. When we think about data centers, just generally speaking, and then we'll get into some of the specifics about what's going on in Wisconsin, these things are energy suckers by scale, like leaps and bounds. More energy is needed to run AI data centers than almost any other energy demand source. How serious is the concerns about the amount of energy that these data centers popping up all across the country are going to be requiring of our grid? And how stable is our energy grid here in the United States to be able to manage that level of demand?
Well, I think the concern is real. It's the amount of energy that these data centers are going to be using is eye-opening. And I think we need to draw a distinction between regular old data centers, which we've had in Wisconsin for a long time, you know, the kinds of things that store your old emails, that all the data that we've been using as part of our digital lives, our own personal digital footprints are all kind of wrapped up in these, I would say, normal sized data centers. But, you know, into this picture comes AI, and the energy needs of AI, the computing needs, are enormous, unlike anything we've ever seen. So when you talk about energy demand of these AI or hyperscale data centers, it was important to Clean Wisconsin to kind of give people a number that they can recognize. When you're talking about a data center in Port Washington, the Vantage data center that's going to be on full build out, 3.5 gigawatts of energy or power demand, what does that mean? And so we actually did an analysis where we just took, you know, we understand our house, we understand a single family home. So how many homes worth of power demand does one of these very large data centers that is going to be built in Wisconsin going to need? And we came up with the analysis of, if you take that data center and then the very first phase of the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant, which is much smaller, but if you combine those, that's 4.3 million Wisconsin homes. The average Wisconsin home power demand, 4.3 million of those. And that's, of course, far more homes than we even have in the entire state. And I think that sort of brings people to the point where it's an unimaginable scale. And again, we have 6 data center projects proposed or approved in Wisconsin. So when you take a step back and think, well, how much energy are we going to need if we have all those, or if we have more of those, what is that footprint really going to be? We're only just now being able to understand what this means. We've never seen demand like this in Wisconsin before. We've never seen a data center, a single project using 3.5 gigawatts of energy. I think 2 years ago, it was unimaginable that any data center would use this much energy, more energy than all of the households in Wisconsin combined. So, you know, it's hard to say how these needs are going to be met. That is resting with the energy utilities that serve them. We Energies in particular serves that data center that's going to be built in Port Washington, according to published newspaper reports. It was We Energies that said to the developer, hey, why don't you make this bigger? And it turned out now 3 times more energy than the developer had first planned to use on that site. So we know that our energy utilities are intimately involved in bringing these data centers here and making sure, apparently, that they use as much energy as they could ever possibly need. And there's a big dollar sign around that, you know, for our energy utilities that get profits when they build energy generation facilities. So there is just levels upon levels of things that we need to understand about what this means for Wisconsin. But what we do know is that this is going to be demand unlike anything we've really ever experienced before.
Yeah. Again, Amy, that baseline statistic, right, that the two projects, the data center in Mount Pleasant and the Vantage data center in Port Washington, and there's going to be more of these, but just those two requiring 3.9 gigawatts, that's enough to power 4.3 million homes, but we have only 2.8 million of them. So two data centers exceeding what we as residents of Wisconsin demand to power our homes. All of this, again, will be expanding, meaning the demands from these AI data centers will be expanding. And Amy, a lot of folks, we start talking about this, nobody really knows what a gigawatt is. Right. How do you measure all that? It gets really muddled. And the governance structure around what is the price that is paid for energy, for electricity, is also so complex, because you do have for-profit companies like We Energies, but you have rate setters here in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission. So does anyone know what happens if, and I'm going to say maybe it's not an if, but a but when, the AI data centers are demanding energy levels or electricity power levels that exceed what is the available supply? Do we know what happens if we reach those points?
I don't think so. I think what you, an energy utility would say would be, well, we wouldn't have this customer come here if we didn't know that we could meet that demand. Certainly, they cannot meet the demand with their existing power plants or wind or solar or anything else. So things are going to have to be built, and they're going to have to be built really quickly. And so I think that is what you're going to start seeing is just a huge amount of building, you know, whether it's clean energy, wind and solar, or in many cases, what we've seen already with the Microsoft data center is, you know, burning methane gas. That is how they are, to a large extent, meeting the needs of just that phase one of the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant. And I think, you know, we need to understand these numbers are, you know, how they compare to what we're seeing now. Like this, those two facilities that are going to use the amount of energy of 4.3 million homes would represent over a quarter of current peak demand in our state. Yeah. So that's two facilities, and our state power system is built around meeting those peaks, right? So you'll just see a huge expansion of, you know, likely from what we're seeing, gas burning power plants to meet some of these needs. And it's important to understand the stake that our utilities have here, because, you know, their profit model, they have shareholders, they have investors, their profit model depends on building stuff. When they build a gas burning power plant, they get a 12.5% profit off of that, that they recoup through their rates, through the bills that everybody pays. It's also important to understand that, you know, I think, give credit to entities like Microsoft is that they are attempting to make sure that this does not become a burden on people through their bills. There is a tariff case, or maybe two of them, that are before the Public Service Commission right now, a lower user tariff that is going to be decided. So that'll decide how much these large users pay for the energy that they use and what's built for the energy that they use. It feels like these tech companies are ready to write big checks, you know, to get these things built really, really quickly. It's the really, really quickly part that should trouble folks, because things are happening so quickly that we don't really understand what the impacts will be. We don't understand what the impacts are going to be on our grid. We don't understand, say, let's say there is a strain on the grid. Who gets power first? Is it data centers get to run or your house gets to run? We don't understand how all of these things are going to work out. And that's not just in Wisconsin. It's all over the country.
Well, the interesting thing, Amy, and I think about this as an economist, as someone who thinks about, quote unquote, negative externalities, which are the bad societal impacts of a business running that we taxpayers end up having to pay to remediate. And dirty energy production is one of them. So if a huge demander like Microsoft or other owners of AI data centers is going to pay a higher rate because their demand is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. That rate, if we're talking about what is the true price of the thing that they're taking, would include, it would price in all of the downside impacts of the energy that they're consuming at this extraordinary and exploding rate. Except that's not what we've got. It's not what we've ever had. Folks, if you're just joining us, we have got Amy Barolo, the communications director of cleanwisconsin.org. We are talking about the explosion of data centers, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but all across the United States. What does it mean, not just for our homeowners and our residential energy consumers, not only what does it mean for our grid? Is our grid stable enough to manage this? Who gets priority over energy during periods of peak demand? But what are the environmental impacts of this explosion in energy consumption? Where are we going to get the energy from to run these data centers? And what does it mean for natural resources here in the state of Wisconsin, the pride and the joy of every resident? We all enjoy recreating outdoors. It is central to our identity as Wisconsinites. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Of course, it is also Civic Media's multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Don't forget, folks, it is this hour where you're going to text in that word to get entered to win two daily prizes and a grand prize of a couple of tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota in late November. Again, text this word in via the app. You'll be entered to win. The word of the hour is pay, P-A-Y. Stick with us. We'll be back with more here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the midst of the hour where we drop a word to enter to win during Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text-to-Win Contest, where when you text in this word I'm about to give you, you are entered to win daily prizes, either $200 or gold jewelry, and you're entered to win our grand prize, which is two club-level indoor seats, very important that they're indoor, to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game and back home, a $1,500 value. The word you want to text in via the app right now, which you can get for free wherever you get your apps from, is pay, P-A-Y. P-A-Y, pay is your word to enter to win our Civic Media Multi-State Text to Win contest right now. Good luck, one and all. Right now, I have been joined by Amy Barolo. She is the communications director for Clean Wisconsin. You can find out more about Clean Wisconsin at cleanwisconsin.org. We'll be posting Amy's podcast called Defenders, their discussion about the hidden secrets behind AI data centers, as well as some of Clean Wisconsin's other analysis in our show notes today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. Thanks for sticking around with us, Amy. Let's get into the environmental impacts and what we may be seeing in coming years. Because if we all understand that the energy demands of AI data centers are frankly, more than most of us can even get our heads around, and they're going to be exponentially increasing. That leads us to questions about, well, where is all of this energy coming from and how is it being produced, as well as specifically water usage. These AI data centers use water as a cooling mechanism.
Right.
It can be extraordinary amounts of water usage. Tell us a little bit about what Clean Wisconsin understands about this water impact.
Well, you know, what we're seeing is a total lack of transparency about how much water is going to be used in some of these data centers. There is a lot of reassurance happening. We've all heard data centers use a lot of water, and I think that has been true on site for cooling. But there is new technology that allows for water recycling to happen on those sites. And so we're hearing a lot of these tech companies say, look, we're not using too much water. We're recycling it. And that is a good thing, but there is a trade-off, right? So the data centers that use less water for cooling tend to use more energy. And what we're not seeing is any kind of admission or talking about how much water energy generation uses. Power generation in Wisconsin is responsible for 70% of the water withdrawals in our state, far more than agriculture. So when we're talking about exponentially increasing the amount of power generation that we need in Wisconsin to meet the demand of these data centers, well, you're going to see water use of that sector, that power generation sector, skyrocket. We also don't know how much water these data centers are going to use on the hottest, driest days of the year. So it's my understanding these water recycling cooling systems don't work when it's 85 degrees or hotter, and then you're going to see more water withdrawals. Well, that's when everybody needs water, when it's dry and when it's hot. And those are the times that our water systems are the most stressed. And that's when you talk about, who gets the energy? Well, who's going to get the water at those times when you have data centers that are potentially either drawing from municipal systems or from wells that go directly to our aquifer system below our feet? So these are some really important questions. You know, these are resources we all share, our energy resources, our water resources, our land resources. And what we're not seeing is any kind of time for communities to really get this information before these data centers are being approved.
And sadly, Amy, just this month, the Trump administration basically gave an order to scientists working in the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of what? Office of Water, to stop publishing studies about anything, basically any of their research coming from the Office of Water. You can't publish them unless you go through this review process. It is scary. I would hazard, this is complete speculation, that, the corporate CEOs having lunch in the White House that need these data centers and need massive amounts of water. I don't know, coincidence? You fill in the blanks, ladies and gentlemen. But literally stopping the publication of research from the Office of Water just as these AI data center demands for water are exploding. You mentioned a statistic, Amy. I want to repeat it for folks. 70% of our water withdrawals are going to be for these AI data centers, far exceeding what is used even in agriculture, one of Wisconsin's major industries. Amy, what is your message to Wisconsin listeners? What should we be doing about this right now?
I think we need to absolutely demand transparency. We need our energy utilities and the tech companies and the developers to give us real information, exactly how much power is going to be used on this site. How is the cooling going to happen? Where's that water coming from? What is the power going to be? Don't just tell me clean power, right? Because sometimes nuclear gets lumped into that. And we know very well that we don't have any place to put that radioactive waste other than right on site. So tell me exactly how this is going to be powered. Communities and our lawmakers need to start demanding that, because before you know it, we'll blink and we'll have so many of these data centers that we will be unable to understand what the impact is going to be until we're looking back in 20 or 30 years and seeing a totally different Wisconsin.
the public and taxpayers deserve to know before it's too late. Demand transparency, demand accountability. Again, you can find out more about Clean Wisconsin's research in this area at cleanwisconsin.org. Big, big thanks to Amy Barilow of Clean Wisconsin for making us all a little bit smarter about this critically important issue for wellness here in Wisconsin. It is still Civic Media's multi-state Texto win contest. Folks, your word to be entered to win this hour is pay, P-A-Y. Text that in right now via the Civic Media app to get entered to win a couple of our daily prizes as well as our grand prize, two tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota in November. Stay with me. Ask Maggie is coming up next. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome. If you're just joining us, welcome back. If you are rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, when we don't have breaking news on Fridays, we try to do a little bit of fun in this segment we call Ask Maggie. You can always send in your questions for me via text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can send them in to the email address askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I also want to take a moment to remind everyone that we also have a dedicated email address that we've put together so that you can tell us how the big, brutal bill is impacting you and your family. How is the shutdown impacting you and your family? Tell us what's going on for you, small business owner, for your kids' education, for your access to healthcare. We want to hear about it. That dedicated email address is wematter@civicmedia.us. And if you prefer to leave us a voicemail message, that number is 855-755-0771. Again, 855-755-0771. With that, always happy to bring back onto the stage with me the metaphoric stage, my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Happy Friday, Jamie.
Happy Friday. Look at us. We made it. We made it to the end of a week. That feels like the greatest accomplishment ever in the current times, does it not?
These days, every Friday, I consider a finish line.
Exactly. It's the small goals, small things
small
in life,
things.
Right? Yes, that's
right.
Yeah,
my coping strategies are some days it's to keep everything micro and just tick off the list. Some days it's like, don't pay attention to the micro, just look macro, big picture, this too shall pass type of thing. But it's Friday.
It's Friday. We made it. So congratulations, everybody. If you are on your way home right now, getting ready for a fun-filled weekend, we are all together in all of this. So that's the most important thing. We do have some really great listener questions, and we're going to keep it on the fun side today because, well, it's been a week.
It's been a week.
So Cal, before we get to those questions, of course, our favorite part, which is our intro to Ask Maggie.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Well, you know, we always preface this after that by saying it's not exactly lightning speed around here, but it's some sort of speed.
There's a good faith attempt for me to answer within the time allotted, but it is sometimes it's just not possible.
It's fine. We're going to start out with one of your favorite subjects ever, because I know you are getting ready for some playoff baseball. So we're going to start with the Brewers. Mike from Park Falls wants to know this.
Hey, Mike.
Even though we hope that this Brewer season continues for quite some time, what does Maggie Dawn do once the Brewers are done playing? We'll give you 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Well, since we've never pulled down a World Series and we have been very challenged in the playoffs in my especially adult lifetime, usually there is a mourning period. Where I and my friends, I have a bunch of baseball fanatic friends, we legit will get together over a few adult beverages and talk about the baseball season and the highlights, our favorite parts, and what we think was inevitably the unfair treatment of our beloved Milwaukee Brewers, because I will never get over the blown strike call in the World Series Finals that I think took a world championship away from the Brewers. So there's a lot of reminiscing, a little bit of adult beverages, and just an overall recap. And then I quickly move on to hopefully a winning Packers season. But it's very hard for me. Obviously, the Packers, they're 3 games into the season. Mm-hmm. But I have a very difficult time getting fully invested in football until the Brewers season is over. Yes. So I am very much still in a baseball state of mind right now.
Yes. And I know quite a few people like that. Even my own 21-year-old is very much like that. Like he'll sit down and he'll watch the Packers game, right?
Or
the three that we've had so far. And by the way, thank goodness they have a bye this week. Let's be honest. But at any rate, you know, if they're going to, you know, the Brewers are going to compete against any sort of Packers schedule, well, he's probably going to be watching some baseball, at least
for the time
being.
It just means your son has just incredibly good taste, Jamie. Is this Max or Dex?
Yes, this is Max. This is Max. And he loves sports all the way around, so it doesn't really matter. He's going to be at some point in his life, you know, just graduated from college kind of thing. At some point in his life, he's going to be like one of those 9 screen people, right?
Oh,
so he can have a different sporting event on at all times. That's going to be, you know, when mom and dad aren't still supporting him and he has a real job, then
disposable income is key for the multiple screens.
That's right. So I totally envision it at some point, but we're Packers people in our house, love the Brewers as well. I got to tell you, the only reason I became a Packers fan is actually because of Max. Max is on the spectrum, right? And when he was 3-4 years old, that was his world, talking about football. And if you wanted to talk to the kid, you had to know something about football, which I did not. So I had to learn in a crash course.
Immersion.
And, right? And so then those were things that we could talk about, and I could get him to have real conversations until he went through the proper therapies and all that. Now he's awesome, and now he's one of the best people I know. Of course I'm going to say that because I'm biased. But
Max, if he ever wants to talk or text about baseball shop, you know, I am always available.
He's down. He's down. In fact, he's a prop bettor. So I was having dinner with him the other night, and he was placing all of his bets. And he's like, "I really hope the Padres beat the Cubs. Sorry, Cubs fans." He's like,
"Do not ever apologize to a Cubs fan.
Padres have worse pitching, according to Max. So he'd rather see them in the playoffs than he would the Cubs."
I made that call last week before the wild card series started, and folks, some of you gripe when I talk about baseball.
I don't want to talk about baseball, politics all the time.
But we need this relief. And I'll just say this about this baseball season. This is Maggie's nerdy facts floating around in my head. The Brewers ended the season with a just under 600 record, okay? Mm-hmm. Literally 599. The last time in Major League Baseball history that not a single team put up a record of 600 or better was in 1930. Okay, so nearly 100 years ago.
That's incredible.
This tells you how competitive this baseball season was, how competitive these teams are. And I think that's extraordinary given the incredible disparities in payroll. Milwaukee is one of the smallest payroll teams, yet we had the best record in baseball. Another testament to that is we had 8 teams in the wild card series. The Padres just took out the Cubs, right? But all of the other 6 teams went to 3 games in their wild card series. Again, I think speaking to the competitiveness of the league this year, which if you're a sports fan, that's just enjoyable because it's good sports.
It's fun. Yes. It's fun. It's super fun. And let's be realistic. No matter what your favorite sport is in this state, we're covered and we've got some incredible teams. And the fact that we get to hang our hat on the fact that we have some of the smallest franchises competing against some of these major cities, that's pretty cool stuff. And it speaks volumes to the fandom and the dedication of Wisconsinites throughout this state and then throughout the country too, who support from afar.
I've lived all over this country and a bit abroad. And I will tell you something. Everywhere that I ever went, there was respect for Wisconsin sports fans. Mm-hmm. Almost reverentially, like, we show up for our teams, we show up for our college yep. teams, we love our major league teams. It is known to be such a great place yeah. for sports fandom. My 80 plus year old mom, she will sit and watch the Packers games and the Brewers games yeah. Right alongside my dad and I. Yes, it is.
It's always a good time. It's always a good time. Now, I'm going to ask you this question before we run out of time, because I really want to know your answer to this one. This Uh-oh. Comes to us from Lynn from Oconomowoc.
Hey,
and
Lynn.
I know, besides being a Brewers fan, you're also a huge music fan. You yes. love to go to shows. You love to listen to music. You play instruments as well.
Yes.
I need a pee stopper on my microphone. Got to put that on my to-do list. I heard it in my own headphones there. So my question, or Lynn's question, I should say, is, Maggie, who is the person that you never got to see in concert that you wish you would have gotten a chance to see? So we'll give her 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Wow.
It's a deep one.
That is deep. I would have loved to have seen, like, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. I would have loved to have seen Amy Winehouse, like, these people that passed so very young and that had left such an indelible mark. I mean, how about the Beatles? I mean, these are just landmark acts. I've seen the Stones. Pink Floyd. Okay, I would have loved to have seen Pink Floyd. I would have loved to have seen the Grateful Dead before Jerry passed. And I rue the day because I had a really, really good friend in grade school that was a huge Deadhead, and she was going to take me. And I was like, I don't know if I can get enough babysitting money together to go. Big mistake. Huge mistake. So those are a few of them. You can hear what I was raised on, which was a lot of that classic rock from back in the day.
Same thing I was raised on. And I have to say, when I saw this one come in, I thought about it. I think one of the most iconic acts that I never got a chance to see would have been Prince, right?
Because
Prince was
yeah.
amazing, absolutely amazing. And I'm going to put a little plug in there. We lived in Minneapolis for a while. And so we spent a good amount of time taking the tours at Paisley yeah. Park. If you're a music fan and you've never had the opportunity to do that, put it on your bucket list
yeah.
because whether you loved Prince's music or not, you actually get to go into the studio where he recorded not only his music, but music for other artists. And if you love music, there is just this feeling that comes over you when you're standing there and you can imagine him standing behind the glass wall, orchestrating it all, hearing the different sounds,
yeah.
because if you've watched those documentaries on him, you know that's how he operated. And it is just, that part of it alone is worth the price of admission, telling you. It's,
yeah,
it's awesome.
You saying those things make me think of, like, Miles Davis, Nina mm-hmm. Simone. And I just heard on NPR there is a new album of never before heard Patsy Cline live recordings.
Oh, interesting.
And I grew up, my mom, big Patsy Cline fan, and all of those signature songs are mm-hmm. as well as that whole classic rock genre, very much kind of the soundtrack of my youth. But there's, you know, again, I love jazz as well. I could go on and on yeah. and on. I've been fortunate. You know, you mentioned I go to a lot of live music kind of all mm-hmm. over the spectrum. And basically there's not like a live show that you could invite me to that would be like, oh, I'm not. I'll go to almost anything because yeah. it's always good.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. So that was a great question. Thank you so much, Lynn. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lynn and Oconomowoc, we need that relief. A little, you know, arts and sports and leisure, like a Trivial Pursuit board, you know?
Right.
There's a little arts and leisure, little sports, little history, little geography. We get it all in here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Get your questions in for next week. Email askmaggie@civicmedia.us or text them in 855-752-4842. When we come back, it's what's good local and overlooked here in Wisconsin with our good friend Terry Barr. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Do we not all need someone to tell us something good? I think we do. And we've got just this segment for you. It is probably my favorite segment of the week to close it out on Friday afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And of course, it is Civic Media's multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. You got to get our app. You're going to text in this word before this clock strikes 6 p.m. today. Your last shot at it. When you text in the word that I'm about to give you, you'll be entered to win one of two possible daily prizes, $200 in cold hard cash or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize, two tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game. Those are indoor club-level tickets because, baby, it's cold outside, plus a gas card to get you there and back, a total value of over $1,500. And the word to be entered to win right now, text it right now. Go get that app for free and text this word in. Pay, P-A-Y, as in it's Friday. It is payday. The word is P-A-Y. Good luck to one and all. And now to introduce my very, very beloved colleague here at Civic Media to tell us something good. It's Terry Barr with What's Good Local and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry.
Oh, hi, Maggie, and hi to all the listeners and the viewers on the stream. Happy Friday.
Thankfully.
Every week is a challenge, isn't it?
Jamie and I were just talking about that. It's like once you get to Friday, oh, thank God we made it through another week.
I know. I feel this. And that is why I so look forward to this Tell Me Something Good segment with you.
Yes.
It's so fun for me to research, too, to find something good to bring to everyone.
And we appreciate it.
Funny, Maggie. I found something that is actually called Too Good to Go. So how's that for all kind of bringing it together?
I love it.
Okay. So there is a startup, and those involved in this startup decided, you know what? Too much of our food is wasted, thrown in the garbage, ends up in the landfill. And then that, of course, creates problems in the environment. So this startup company created an app. And I talked to the woman who is the associate director of operations. Her name is Allie Denberg. And she explains to me what this app is all about.
Our app connects food businesses with consumers who buy their surplus food for a fraction of the original retail price. So businesses can recoup revenue from food that would otherwise be thrown out. Consumers can eat great food for a half or less of the retail price, and everyone can contribute to lowering greenhouse gas emissions from food waste.
It sounds so simple, but is it? And why have we needed something like this? Because obviously we haven't been doing well when it comes to food waste.
Absolutely. And we do think it's simple, and we really see it as a win-win-win, where it's a win for customers, for businesses, and for the environment.
So Maggie, here's the big number that really caught my attention and why I'm so interested in this, both professionally and personally. 38% of all the food produced ends up in a landfill.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
If you drive around Wisconsin, you see landfills. So this is being now started, this app as a startup, is being rolled out across Madison and Milwaukee. Businesses are adding themselves to this app on almost a constant basis because we're talking grocery stores and restaurants. They're seeing the advantage of keeping stuff out of the landfill, but turning around and selling it to people like us who want this food, but we get to pay a lot less for it. And again, we're the ones that I feel like hopefully will be winning and keeping the stuff out of the landfill. The app is free. It's Too Good to Go. And you'll find on there, you just simply match with these businesses that get your attention, whether it's a local restaurant, a grocery store. They've added some convenience stores across both Milwaukee and Madison. And the hope is that as this continues, they're going to roll it out to more cities across the state.
That's just amazing. This is one of the things that we're so bad at the United States is food waste. And we could be doing so much more. And I've had restaurant owners and chefs on the show before, and I know a number of them in and around the Milwaukee area have been working to do just that, develop relationships with food banks and food pantries that distribute the food to folks in need.
Right.
And, you know, since Republicans don't want kids getting school lunches for free, since they've gutted the food stamp program, emergency food assistance and the big brutal bill, there is no time like right now for this kind of a program. Absolutely critically important.
Well, and Allie said they're finding moms and dads are actually connecting with grocery stores, and you kind of get a surprise bag. And she said it's like $5 to $12, but you're getting food that otherwise would cost up to $40. And what they're hearing from some of the people that experimented with this, they're making their kids lunches.
I love this. Yeah. Terry Barr, thank you so much. Have a beautiful, wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too, my dear.
Thank you for always bringing us something good, local, and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. That's going to do it for me for this Friday. Have a wonderful, safe weekend to each and every one of you. And happy wedding to my dear friend Marcelia and her soon husband-to-be, Renwick. I love you both. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.